last week we talked about a category. Let me think. What was our message last week? We talked about, fact meaning, which is just terrific. And hopefully, did some of you guys go through, maybe just some feedback from the group. Did anyone go through an experience of taking fact meaning and trying to do it for yourself after the class that we had last Monday? Anyone on the call want to share about that? Anyone? Or did anyone want to respond a little bit? I know we ran a little over last week because we had so much upfront stuff, we let it go till about 10:30. But did anyone, have any, reactions to fact meaning last week? Anyone want to share about what fact meaning meant to you? Anyone? Yeah. Did you find something in your life that you said, wow, here I understand this is what I gave this meaning to something once in my life? Anyone want to share that, that might you might have opened your eyes to something in you? Uh-huh. Sure, I can hear you. Sure, that's okay, great. Okay, you're talking about when people talk to you, when you're getting some inner reaction. Okay, all right. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Right, but sometimes when we try to interpret what that meaning is, we're not always giving it the right interpretation, right? And when we start choosing meanings around what people say to us, we're coming from judgment about what they mean instead of just implicitly listening to them and hearing them out. We tend to want to put meanings to it all, and then that's where we go awry. So if we can stay out of doing that, we're going to be in a better posture. Whether, you know, and you can say, well, then they could hurt you, or they could, well, then it becomes a trust issue. Where are we coming from that big fat word trust? I kind of have a concept in my life that I've always had. It's I trust everybody implicitly until they prove me wrong. And they don't prove me wrong by me trying to put a meaning on what they're saying. I hear them out, and I give them credit for meaning exactly what they're saying instead of trying to put a double entendre or a second meaning to it. But if they prove me wrong, then I have to do a reassessment of who this person is and how this person fits in my life. Or I can go back to them and say, you know what, this is what you said to me, this is how I took it, and this is how I feel when you do this to me. And I can have some inner reaction on a level that might help move them forward into taking a better tact in life, or approach to life. But I think where we get in trouble is when we start assigning meanings to facts, to things that happen to us, that because then we're in the interpretation mode all the time, and our interpretations could be totally wrong. And it's not that we don't need to interpret things sometimes in our lives, but be very careful. That's why I put the big be aware that the interpretation, the meanings you give things, could be so off base that you're going to create havoc in your life, and you're going to recreate things that you don't want to recreate in your life. Yeah. Well, great. Well, it's a great aha, and it's a great awareness. And I'm going to suggest to you that in your working with people, you just took your effective ratio and multiplied it tenfold, because people will desperately try to be in your aura and in your sphere of influence when you cast out the judgment stuff. They want people to love on them. They want them to care about them. They don't want judgment. They can get judgment from every Tom, Dick, and Harry across the street. It's like, hey, just love on me and care about me. And when we can come from that love and that care, instead of, uh-oh, what does he really mean, or what is he trying to do, or what is he trying to manipulate, or what's this double entendre here, what's, we create havoc in our lives by doing that. And are there people out there that, you know, play that realm? Yeah, but you can't come at it and look at life that's the norm. You have to come at it and say, you know what, I'm going to be open, honest, authentic, and I'm going to come from that at every opportunity, and that's going to open phenomenal doors for me to make a difference in people's lives. And if they're going to be people that might try to hurt me or try, but you know, then you have to step back and say, you know what, that's their program, that's not mine, that's what's running their life. And so you don't even, you can choose even, you know, your experience. You can choose what your experience is around those kind of people, and you can move on. But the majority of people truly are coming from goodness and kind-heartedness, and we just need to be there to offer that up. That's where we need to come from at all times, and that'll serve you much more than it will to be suspect or judgmental or, you know, lack of, or just come from an area of no trust. Yeah, great. Thanks for the share. Yeah, anyone else? Well, that's a cute way of attacking it. That little voice in the head. You go, thank you for sharing, but I'm not interested. Goodbye. Good. No, I like that. That's cute. Yeah, amen. That's a good one. That's a great way of getting rid of that little voice in that head, because we all have that little voice. Trust me. Yeah. Great. Great. Good. Wonderful. Wonderful. Great, great, great. Yeah. All right, good. Some good shares. So that's what you want to keep working on, getting rid of those meanings in your life. And you can even go deeper and look at, you know, some of the, it's not just what we do every day of our life with people and judgment around people, but it's also about events or facts that have happened in our life in the past that we continue to carry meanings forward that are really negatively impacting our lives. And those are the ones you really want to dig at so you can redefine them or give them positive meanings, because we really can create whatever meaning we want to around it. And it's just up to you to choose better. Choose a better result. Choose better meanings. Choose better things for yourself, because that's what's going to help move you forward. Okay, so the second chapter in Clemmer's book, he talks about making problems your best friends. And this is a great chapter, too. In fact, the more I've done this before, and every single time I read more, and of course, trying to get into training it and those kind of things, it just reaches a whole new level for you. But this is a great one, because it really tells us about how people think. And you can look at it, not just look at yourself, but look at other people in the world and look at people in your downline, and now you're going to get some insight into how different people, your associates underneath you, and how to work with them at a better level to help open their eyes up to perhaps how they're, you know, running their lives and doing the things that they're doing. And the first issue, really, that we're talking about here is we start talking about what are problems. And problems are things that we come up against that just tend to stop us. We have resistance around them. And the average person in our society views problems as something negative. In fact, they try to live their lives avoiding problems. I don't want to deal with them. I don't want problems to occur. I want my life to be perfect. I want every single person I talk to about Manatech to sign up right then. I want them to have great results. I want them to become the best business builders. That's the way I want my life. Now, you know, is that dream world or what? I mean, but the average person tries to avoid problems. And they don't want no problems in their life because they look at problems as something negative. And if you apply it to your Manatech business, I listed four different things that you can look at. I just came up with these off the top of my head that we would view as maybe a problematic in our business. Like we even starting off just prospecting. You talk to a prospect and he looks at you and goes, well, I don't like network marketing. And right away we have a problem that's presented it. A new associate says, oh my gosh, I had this incredible cleanse response. I don't want to take the products. A three-month consumer who's been on the products for 3 months says to you, it's not making a difference. I'm going to quit. or a new business builder, after he's worked at this business for 6 months, finally tells you this business doesn't work because he's not working, okay? Anyway, so these are what we would consider some problems that could come up in our Manatech business. Now, how do you respond to these things? And most people would look at them and go, oh my gosh, you know, they're devastated. They get into anxiety. They, you know, they beg the people to stay on the products. All these kind of things. We look at them from a negative perspective. We wish they never happened. They're negative. But that's what the average person does. Our goal is not to be average. So get out of the concept of what average people do. Let's do something different. And the concept here is to look at each and every problem as an incredible opportunity. They're all positive. And that's how successful people look at problems. They thrive on problems. They just, you know, when a problem comes up, it's an incredible opportunity. And it's intriguing because this is something I've done like all my life. And some people said, well, Mary Jo, that's because you were a lawyer for so many years, and lawyers, you know, that's all you deal with is problems. So you get to be very good at dealing with problems. And I don't think that's true, because that's really something that's been part of my personality for my entire life. But it's about choosing how you look at things. My choice is always to be positive, not negative. So if you make a choice to be positive in your life all the time, even when problems present itself, you choose positive. You choose the positive. Because every time you look at a problem that arises, problems always create value. The more problems you have, the more valuable you're going to be, the more money you make, the more responsibility you'll have, the more impact you can have on the world. Because I even tell Lydia this on a day-in, day-out basis. When she gets frustrated because somebody calls with something from time to time, I'll say, Lydia, do you get why this is an opportunity for you to excel? I look at every problem as an opportunity to excel, because you can come to the solution. I mean, what a great opportunity for you to be able to show up in a significant way to help come to a solution, whether it comes from you or it comes from just a consensus of people, but you can be part of a solution. And that is so powerful, to be part of a solution. So we need to look at ourselves and say, man, we got to start looking at problems as something positive. I put an example in here about how successful people, even in Manatech, again, I try to tie it all to your Manatech business, because that's what we're talking about on this call. I gave an example, like if you look statistically, if you're a brand new associate, you can look at statistics, and people have quoted saying that, you know, the average new associate that comes on board has about a 20% rate of sign-up. In other words, out of every 10 people they approach, they sign up 2. 1 out of 100 people that they approach become business builders. So if you take these kind of statistics, whether they're right or wrong, and again, these are not something, you know, engraved in stone. It's just some things I've heard over the years. And you start, as a new associate, you choose to approach 1 person per day. You end up signing up about 3 or 4 a month. And then every 4 to 6 months, you find a business builder. Well, if you take this approach to your business, you're going to either quit before your second year because you're going to say, this isn't working, or you're going to, what I call, settle for bones. In other words, you want steak, you want to make $2,000 to $5,000 to $10,000 a month in this business, but you end up settling for $300 a month because you just shift your gears and you go, well, this is a mission and I'm okay with making $300 a month. And that's what we do in Manatech. A lot of people take that approach because they go out there and they go, well, these are just, you know, the way it's going to be. I'm going to sign up 3 people a month maybe, and I'll find 1 business builder every 6 months. Successful people are going to look at those statistics, are going to go, that's a problem. I'm not going to fit in those statistics because that's a problem. I want to make this into a business. I want this a business that works. I want to get the presidential. I want to truly have the stake. So successful people look at those statistics and say, I'm going to make them into something. This is a problem. I'm going to create something different. And what do? They attack it. They, instead of talking to 1 person, new person a day, they talk to 5 new people a day. When they go out and market, instead of marketing to everybody and anybody that just happens to walk into their lives, they do selective sorting. They market to, you know, people that have great spheres of influence. They can walk in a room and they'll find the people with the greatest group of people around them, and those are the people they go after. Or they go out and market and they talk to chiropractors and naturopaths and health food stores and, you know, massage therapists and physical therapists and these people that have lots of patients that within a short period of time could add lots of people and get a lot of people started. Those are the kind of things they look at. They'll take on something that statistically they don't like, and they're going to say, this is a problem. I'm going to create something different from it. And they'll take another step. They'll create success out of a problem. average people sit around and whine about their problems, not realizing that success is staring them in their face. That's a great quote out of the book. Are we sitting around whining about our problems, whining about, oh, it's too hard to go prospect, oh, it doesn't work, oh, these people aren't going to sign up anyway, all the self-talk, or are we looking at it, success, staring right at us in our face, and we're not grabbing onto it? Another great story that comes out of the book, too, which, of course, comes out of the book, the Bible, is the David and Goliath story, and a lot of you are familiar with that. They talk about the David being a little shepherd boy, and little he was, okay, and coming up against the giant Goliath. He stood up and he said, I'll fight Goliath. And what was Goliath in the story? Nothing more than a problem. He was an incredible problem for the Israelites, the Palestinians, and he said, I'm going to go up and fight Goliath. So David took on Goliath, and of course we know the end of the story is that he actually, with a slingshot, knocked Goliath over, killed Goliath, and this little shepherd boy beat up this, you know, monstrous giant. And David became king. Without the problem of Goliath presenting itself, how is David going to become king? So the problems that come in our lives are the best things that ever happened to you. And start looking at them that way. You move out of your comfort zone, you create value, you open up incredible opportunities for yourself by dealing with problems, by tackling them and looking at them as opportunities. So if you go back and you look at under 1A in the outline, when I talked about the four different problems that can exist for you, and of course there are massive numbers of problems you can have in any business, but let's just talk about the four I listed. A prospect says he doesn't like network marketing, or for any, you know, purpose here, we could say any, throws up any objection. Well, the minute somebody says to me they don't like network marketing, some of you just go right into a shell, because it's like, it's a problem, and you don't know how to respond, and you like freeze, and you feel bad, and you try to negotiate with them on why it's not network marketing. Some people try to do that. I don't mean that you do it, but I kind of giggle around that, because it is network marketing. But when a prospect says to me that he doesn't like network marketing, for me, it's a gigantic opportunity for me to educate them on why network marketing is so incredible. So to me, it's a huge opportunity. I want the objection, if he has it, because it gives me an open door to try to take his mind frame, his paradigm, and shift it. So I look at people, I say, it's absolutely network marketing, and I wouldn't be in it if it wasn't. And this is why, because I found that network marketing is the most efficient mechanism of distribution of anything available in our country today. The only time they pay income out is when something is sold. We don't line the pockets of CBS and ABC executives, you know, in doing commercials on television, all these places. That's not what we do. So I go through the whole scenario about why I love network marketing. I did that with a chiropractor the other day. It was just incredible. The chiropractor said to me, Mary Jo, I don't like network marketing. And I talked to Dr. Adams about it, and I said, you know, Dr. Adams, let me explain to you what it is to me. If I could take your entire chiropractic practice and make it into a network marketing schematic under Manitech's compensation plan, think about you having patients who get their chiropractic care for free. All they have to do is refer two people, and they can get their chiropractic care for free. If I could structure your chiropractic office that way, because see, that's what Manitech does with their team bonus under the network marketing schematic, you can get $100 a month if you refer two people and they refer two. You can get $100 a month. If I could do that in your chiropractic practice, what would your retention be with the patients you have? And you know, this guy was totally blown away. He listened to me and he was like, wow. You see, he never saw the reality of what network marketing can do. So people, this is an opportunity. Again, take a problem and make it into an opportunity. A new associate has a cleanse response. My response to them is, great. That just is a huge indication your body's screaming about how much it needs the products, how much it needs those nutrients. Because somebody's body who's full of those nutrients isn't going to have a cleanse response. So it's just an indication how much your body needs the products. And then I start walking through how to work with that cleanse response. But look at how it gave me a gigantic opportunity to educate the person further. A 3-month consumer says it's not making a difference. What do I work on that? I go, great, let's start looking at what else is missing in your diet. Because this is a huge piece of the puzzle to say, wow, we didn't hit the missing nutrient, or maybe you're not taking enough. Because it works, it just has to be a long enough time period and enough product. So so I open up the door to make them understand a little bit more about what nutrition is. It's not about experimenting for 3 months. So again, a great opportunity for you to do more education. A business builder who says this business doesn't work, I go, okay, let's look at what you're doing and what you're not doing and why is it not working. And I get the chance to work with them one-on-one. It's an opportunity to educate them and say, and hopefully point out to them what they're not doing that's causing it not to work. Because when people say it doesn't work, it's not it that doesn't work. What's the it? It's the person. So then you get to sit back. It gives you an open door policy to sit down with them and say, wow, I'm glad you're, you know, where you are. I'm glad you made some effort around this. Let's sit down and let's walk through it. And let's see exactly what you've done over the last 3 to 6 months to help your business grow. How many new people are you talking to every single day? Let me see your log and work with them and walk. And then it's an opportunity for you to point out, this is why you're not getting the results. And they usually backpedal and this, that, and finally they get it. Oh, I get it, Mary Jo. It's not the business that's not working. It's me that's not doing the business the right way. Or I'm not, you know, prospecting enough. Or I'm not, you know, working on my ability to close. Or I'm not, you know, and then you can point out. And it gives you a huge opportunity to move this person forward to find the problem that exists that's holding them back. So, you fall in love with these problems because it gives you immense opportunities to create value in people's lives. And that's what successful people do. Love the problems. So, the second step is how do you, let's look at you individually, everybody on the call, just how do you handle problems that confront you? And to understand this, there are 4 basic thinkers out there, and you'd want to look at which category you fit into. Typically, it will determine how you grapple with problems. And I put an attachment on the outline today, and hopefully all of you have it. It's a diagram of those 4 different kinds of thinkers. So let's talk about those 4 thinkers. And some of you are going to laugh because you're going to say, oh my gosh, that's me. Or some of you are going to go, oh my gosh, that's my husband, or that's my, you know, business builder, or that, you know, you're going to recognize some of these traits in people you work with. And that's important because if you recognize where they are, then you're in a better position to help them move in a different direction. So let's start with thinker number 4. Thinker number 4, and you can look at the diagram. What is thinker 4? The thinker number 4, you have a smiley face and you have a little line that goes up and it stops before it ever gets to the box. The box is the problem. Above the box is the goals because you are trying to achieve your goals. Notice how thinker number 4, what does he not have? He doesn't have any stars above the box. Those are goals that you set for yourself. Thinker number 4 chooses not to have any goals. Some of you have people like that in your life. Some of you, that may be you. You choose not to have any goals in your life. You choose to not put some direction in what results you commit to accomplishing, because commitment's a really big word, and that's a hard word for some of you to grapple with. So it's better not to commit at all than to commit and then fail. So we choose to have no goals. Well, if you choose to have no goals in your life, I'm going to suggest that you're going to come up with very few perceived problems in your lives. And notice the word perceived. Because when you don't have goals, you're not introducing goals will automatically create problems in your life. Because goals right away cause you to take action. Action creates problems. It causes you to get out of comfort zones. Goals. That's one of the reasons why the statistics exist that people who have written goals always are the ones that are most successful, because they're constantly bouncing up against problems and breaking through. They're getting out of their comfort zone. They're going out and achieving everything they want to achieve in their life. So it's about drafting goals, setting goals, pushing yourself to do what you would do just hanging out. And that's what's going to create problems in your life. So consequently, those who have no goals, if you don't set any goals, this is something that came out of the book too, which I loved. Those are people who don't even live a whole year. Every year in 2005, they're going to live one day, and they're going to repeat that one day over 365 times. That's a huge aha. They go to the same job every day. They eat at the same place. They meet the same friends. They do the same things. They just say. Now, no judgment around this, people. Can you choose to live that life? Absolutely. But what are you choosing for your legacy? Obviously, you're not choosing a legacy because you don't have any goals set for your life. So, but again, it's a choice you make. If that's the life you choose to have, understand what you're choosing. No goals, no problems. Every day is the same day over and over and over again. So that's thinker number four. No goals, no problems. They don't have to bounce up against anything, so they never move forward. They never get ahead. They never get out of that comfort zone, whatever they call their comfort zone, to achieve what they want to achieve. Okay, let's move on to thinker number three. Thinker number three. These people don't just have one goal. They have thousands of goals. And you can probably think of some people you know in this category. They typically are people that are incredibly energetic, enthusiastic. That doesn't mean everybody who's energetic and enthusiastic fits in this category. It just means that these kind of people typically is energetic and enthusiastic. Their difficulty is they go after one goal. The minute they hit resistance, what do? They bounce back and they choose a different goal. They hit resistance, they bounce back, they hit resistance, they bounce back. So if you look at the diagram that I've attached to the outline, you can see the thinker number three, he's got his eyes aimed at the goals. He bounces up, he hits the problem, which is the box, and what happens is he bounces back from the problem. Then he goes forward with another goal and he bounces back again, and he just keeps bouncing away from the problem because he never breaks through the problem. They're so energetic. They go after one goal, they hit resistance, they just simply change goals. They just choose a different goal. Oh, that one had resistance, change goals, try something else. It's a lack of mental discipline, a total lack of mental discipline. These people are constantly changing their goals. They're like chickens with their heads cut off, running around like crazy. What might this look like in Manitech? Classic case. Here's people. Manifest, what happens? We set our goal to win the incentive, okay? We're going to win the incentive. 2 months later, when it didn't work, in other words, we didn't work a plan, we didn't develop a plan to win our trip, we just got highly motivated at Manifest and said, we're going to be on the cruise, or we're going to be in, you know, Moon Palace in November. It was all a lot of good talk and a lot of motivation, but we didn't put a plan in place, and we didn't carry out the plan, and after 30 days or 60 days, we only have 20 points, and we need to have 100 in 5 months, so after 2 months, we go up. Come up against resistance. We don't want to build a plan. We don't want to work that plan. We haven't worked the plan. So we just say, well, it doesn't work. We're going to try a new goal. And we start a new one. And we bounce back and we take new goals and new goals and new goals. They're the same people that say, okay, I'm going to make national director in 2 months. I'm totally committed. They put the intent down. They say, I'm committed to make national director. After 5 weeks, they go, okay, well, maybe I won't make it until 4 months. Okay, so they change their goal, 4 months. After 10 weeks, they say, okay, I'll make national director. It's going to take me 6 months. Do these people ever make their goals? No, because the minute they hit resistance, they bounce back and try to redo their goals one more time. Because they can have thousands of different goals. They just bounce back away from problems. Unfortunately, unless these people change, they'll never reach their goals, no less achieve something great in their life. So here's a great quote that came out of the book too. Nobody becomes great without first overcoming great resistance. Another great, yeah. Tiny little stars, because he has tons of goals. Those are his goals. The stars on the diagram are your goals. Notice how number three has thousands of goals, but he... They're goals he can achieve, but he's choosing every time he hits the box, which is the problem. What does he do when he hits resistance, a problem? He doesn't break through the problem to get to the goal. He just revamps the goal. You get it? Yeah. You see what happens? He just keeps bouncing away from problems or resistance, never breaks through. He just comes up with a new goal that works for him this week. I got it? It's goals he has. See, all those stars are his thousands of goals that he has up there, but he's never gotten to them. His line from his head never touched or intersected with any of those goals, because that big problem, that resistance, that box, keeps sending him backwards. Every time he hits resistance, boom, back. We'll try another goal. We'll set another goal. Thousands of goals, but every time resistance hits, whoop, back. Let's backpedal and go. Again, it's somebody that probably this kind of person hates problems, you know, has a great resistance towards resistance. They hate conflict. These are going to be people that really abhor conflict in their life. So the minute they see it, because a lot of people, they see a problem and they think, conflict. And they don't like conflict, so they fall back. They just fall back and stay away from it. It could be lack of focus. Failure to have a plan is a failure to plan is a plan to failure, for failure. That could be lack of plan, you know, lack of focus. But it's mostly an aversion towards conflict. It's mostly an aversion towards, you know, anything that puts resistance in front of us. We are the people that want to be smiling and happy all the time, and resistance isn't something we want to tackle. So we just take a different direction. We don't want to hit head on a problem. We don't want to, you know, come from solution, and we can just bounce back and come up with some different goal, and then we don't have to. We can rationalize that. Oh, that one just doesn't work, so we're going to do this one, and we get into rationalization. These people are huge people on rationalizing, because that failure to plan is a plan to fail. Nobody becomes great without first overcoming great resistance. Nobody becomes great without first overcoming great resistance. And of course, we know that has a sound biblical foundation, right? Okay. So that's where your number three thinker is. That's your number three thinker. Anyone think of people like that? Maybe we might fall in that category a little bit ourselves from time to time, right? Okay. So that's your number three finger, okay? And that's how they tackle problems. They don't tackle them at all. They don't choose to, you know, tackle them, work through them. The number two thinkers, these are good. These are people who are very focused on their goals, really focused, but they still do not overcome the problems that arise between them and their goals. Notice your diagram? They hit up, they bounce up against it, and they hang on to that problem. They don't bounce back off of it. They grab on to that problem. Their issue is that they focus on the problems. They analyze the problem to death. They throw themselves into it and become the problem expert. The more they think about problems, the bigger it gets. The more offshoots it has, the more overwhelming it becomes. These people can also see problems that don't even exist. They can create problems out of nothing. So the number two thinker is very focused on their goals, but when that problem interjects itself, their focus gets where? Off the goal, on the problem. And they spend their life enmeshed in problems. And I put some language in there that came out of the book, too, that just gives you some idea of what kind of language you can hear from some of these people. And these are the kind of people that, you know, that you work with in Manitech. And do you work with some people that are always negative? Why doesn't Manitech do this? Oh, how come they screwed up on this? How come this didn't work? How come this didn't? Do you have those kind of people? I'm going to suggest they're number two thinkers. They drive on problems. They like to espouse problems. They get caught up in the problem. Do we not all know problems are going to occur in our lives? Are we getting hung up in the problem, or are we keeping focused on the goal to bust through the problems? These are the people that say things, well, you have to be realistic. You did not understand the complexity of the problem. Yeah, that's a good idea, but yeah, buts are huge in these number two thinkers. Yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. See, they're going back to the problem. Yeah, but, here's the problem. Yeah, but, here's the issues. Here's what's going to hold us back. Notice their focus is not on the goal, but the focus is always on the problem to overcome. And these are classic people. I took it to another level about dealing with relationships. These number two thinkers are also people that if they get in relationships with someone, whether it's a spousal relationship or a friendship or whatever, they're going to sit down with you, and you could have 100 things that are just going great in the relationship, and they're going to focus on the two things that aren't. And they're going to want to grapple with you on those two things and spend your time and energy around those two things that aren't in alignment with what they want to have in that relationship. The 100 other things are going to be dismissed because there's two things that the two problem areas. Instead of saying, you know what, maybe those two areas aren't just that greatly important. We've got the other 98 all worked out and we're just doing terrific and we can move forward on this level. So why am I spending all my energy and time around the two issues that still are out there that are minuscule compared to the incredible depth of a relationship I have with this person? Anyone relate to that? And it's not about not trying to be better, but it's about where's your focus? keep your focus centered on the goal, not on the problem. When we always look for problems and create problems and thrive in problems, we're never going to move forward. We're never achieving that goal. And then we finally have the number one thinker. And the number one thinker, these people have big problems. Because I'm going to share with you, people that are in the successful mode have big problems because they create problems every day. Because they're into momentum, they're into movement, they're into action, they're into change, they're into creating. So they create problems every day. And the number one thinkers, what they do is they fall in love with their problems. They want more problems. The minute they have problems, because it gives them an opportunity to what? To become heroes, to succumb from solution, to get break through them and get to the end result. Their focus is on their goals, not the problems. They create, they change, they grow, they learn in order to solve their problems to get to their goals. Whatever it takes, they do to reach their goals. These people are creators. They create things to solve problems. They create solutions. They create remedies. They're constantly in a mode of, how do I resolve this problem? What do we do next? What's our next step? Not thriving in the problem at hand, but thriving on the solution, because that's what's going to help move you forward. That's what your number one thinker is, and those are the people that are successful, because they're the ones that are achieving their goals. And look at how their view of problems is. They're problem eaters. They create problems every day because of their activity, their action, their dynamics, their constant movement and change. They're going to create problems. If you change every day of your life, are you going to be creating problems for yourself, for people around you, for the environment? Absolutely. You make a change, you decide to do something different. You know, you set up a foundation, you do this, you take a direction, you make a commitment to do something different. You're going to create problems for yourself. You're going to create problems on time. You're going to create problems in relationships. You're going to create problems with what you were doing before because you're dedicating less time. All of a sudden, you're creating problems. But these people create these problems every day. Problems they love. They thrive on. They solve them. They move on. They learn how to be more efficient, more effective to handle what they've now chose to tackle. So that's what number one thinkers are. So you look at these four thinkers and you decide, okay, here's your next step. Number three in the outline. Where are you amongst the four thinkers and where do you want to be? Where's your choice of how you deal with life, how you deal with problems, how you deal with change, how you create? Are you thinker number one, two, three, or four? And where do you want to be? And if you want to make a movement from where you are in those four thinkers, number one, the first most important thing to do is the first step to any change is awareness. You must be alert. Every time you come across a problem, what is your reaction? Start looking at and evaluating what your reaction is to problems. Some of you have problems right now in your life. You don't have to go. You can get off the phone as if you haven't thought about them during the talk, but you can get off the phone and just say, okay, make a list of some of the problems you have in your life right now. And look at what you've been doing with them. How have you been tackling those separate problems? What have you been doing? Are you thriving in them? Are you immersing yourself in them? Or are you tackling them and moving on? What are you doing about the problems that exist currently in your life? Just so you don't have to breathe another breath without coming up with a problem, because we all have problems in our life every day of our lives. And we have problems, some of them you guys have held on to for, 10 years, and it's still the same problem, and you're still not tackling it, because somehow you're either setting a different goal, or you're ignoring it, or you have no goals at all around it. You know, it's kind of like taking a problem. I can take a relationship problem. Let's say you're not talking to your sister and you haven't talked to her for 10 years. Is that a problem? Well, some of you go, no, it's not a problem. I'm going to tell you that's number four thinking. The reason it's not a problem for you is you have no goal with respect to that relationship. Somehow you've dismissed your sister as somebody important in your life. Well, isn't that intriguing? What does that say about you? What does that say about what, coming from love and commitment and everything else? So you can get rid of problems by just not having a goal. But wouldn't it be great to have a wonderful relationship with that sister? Yeah, but Mary Jo, I can't do it because it's all about her. Oh, yeah. Oh, right. Every relationship is all about the other person. It's not about what I do. It's about the other person. You can't change the other person, but you can change you. So tackle that problem and say, okay, what do I really want with my sister? I want, if I could have the dream come true, I'd want the best possible relationship. Well, put that as a star above your problem box. And now you've got a problem. So you see how the number one thinker thinks. The number one thinker is going to go, the number four thinker is going to go, I'm going to say I don't have a problem because I don't have a goal with respect to that relationship. So it comes from apathy. Number four thinker, it doesn't matter because the outcome won't really affect me. It doesn't matter. So it tends to look like apathy. That's your number four thinker. Again, no goals, no problem. Your number three thinker kind of looks at it and says, oh, that changes things, so I'll just have to change directions, pursue something different. A problem comes up and we see the resistance and we just bounce off of it. We don't try to tackle it. We don't try to work through it. We don't come up with solution. It's conflict. It's resistance. So we want to avoid it at all costs. So we'll just come up with a new, goal. We'll set something different. Go back to the sister. I have a sister I haven't talked to in 10 years. Okay, so I'm a number three thinker. What do? I send my sister a letter, and she sends me a letter back complaining about something that happened in our past. And I go, oops, resistance up. Forget it. New goal. I'm going to work on this direction today. And you abandon it. Instead of tackling through what she wrote to you and trying to come to some win-win situation with the language, we just throw it away. Because that relationship, just now all of a sudden that goal is not as important. I got 1,000 other ones. I can bounce off to another one. The minute I hit resistance, I'm done. You see what happens to the goal? My goal was I wanted the best possible relationship with my sister, and I just decided it wasn't that important. How can that happen? How can that happen? Pain. Oh, and what is pain? Pain is a problem. Pain is resistance. So we fight because it's painful. So we resist it because it's painful. Well, let me suggest to you that anything worthwhile has pain in it, has resistance in it. And it's something that we work through. What are you going to feel like when you get to the other side of the mountain after you broke through the pain and you broke through the resistance? You're going to feel like you're going to be on the top of the world because you worked through it. Yeah, there's pain. Yeah, there's resistance around that. But boy, is it going to be worth everything I've given it. But the problem is some of you go, yeah, but Mary Jo, what if I give it everything and it doesn't work? Oh, my goodness gracious, I hear that from people and I go, why do you always come from it doesn't work? Why do you think of the future as it not working? What is it about you in your past? What has happened that you constantly think about, but it's not going to work? What if it doesn't work? Why don't you always come from it's going to work? Because I'm going to tell you, if you put your intent at that level, that it's going to work, that's as a man thinketh, so be he. Put that intent in your mind. Because that's what your resistance was. You didn't want to take the risk. Oh my gosh, what's 90% of the divorces caused by? We don't want to take the risk of being hurt again, so we don't want to go back in and step into it. We don't want to come with a humble attitude and say, you know what? I would like to try to make this work. And I don't care if you beat me up. I don't care if you abuse me. I don't care if you were infidelity. That's part of our past. Can we work forward through that? But because we were hurt and we're afraid of getting hurt again, we don't want to take the risk. We stop. So the goal, which is truly to have that beautiful relationship, we just dismiss the goal and we bounce back. Got it. Number three thinkers. So can we do it differently? Yeah, we can choose. Okay, let's go to number two thinker. So how does a number two thinker approach something like that? Your number two thinker does what? Wow, that's a problem. They get the letter back from their sister and they go, whoa, that's a problem. Let's analyze this. And about 6 months later, they finally kind of intriguingly analyzed it and they put a letter back to their sister with four other problems in it. that they've come to the conclusion exists because of the initial problem. Now the sister writes back, and this sister-sister thing goes on about 10 more years, and all they do is work on problems. What's the problem with that? The problem is your focus is on all the problems instead of on what? The solution, the goal. Focus on a beautiful relationship, not on all the problems. Focus on the goal, not the problems. So that's how your number two thinker, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, all right, great. Right, right. And let me, it sounds like, yeah, it sounds like a number three thinker because you're bouncing off, but in reality, let's talk about that because number one, when you're out there doing Manatech and you approach a prospect, that's very different than sister, sister, and let me talk to you why. When you're approaching a prospect, we all want every person to be on these products, don't we? Isn't that true? Absolutely. But when we approach them and we give them and we come from heart and we really care and share with them and they say to you, you know what, this just isn't for me. You know what? You want to just thank them for taking the time and energy around looking at it because you just know incredibly what a benefit would be and you appreciate that they've, you know, took the time. But because I care about them, my goal is still for them to get signed up, so I keep them on my drip list. I'll send them the patent issuance, I'll send them mana mail, I'll send them things, but I also respect where they're coming from. I don't spend the rest of my life trying to get that one person in Manatech because I know that my time is so valuable. My goal is to impact what? Not one person, but thousands. And if I spend all my energy around one person, how can I impact thousands? Do you see the difference in your goal? Your goal isn't one person, your goal is thousands of people. You may have one person you've approached and you really like to get them in, but the true goal for you is to build a Manatech business by impacting thousands. And if I put all my energy around somebody who's a naysayer, I could lose the impact I could have elsewhere. Now, on the other hand, taking your sister scenario, you only have one sister, let's say, and I don't know, you may have more, but that's somebody that's crucially linked to you in your life. So your choice around that person, maybe she rejects and she doesn't want the relationship with you, but because she's so important to you, the continued commitment that you make, because your goal is specific with that sister, because she's a sister. Somebody's doing dishes in the background. Could we? We're having some thanks. Anyway. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Anyway, so what happens with the sister scenario is this is somebody that's so truly important to you and there is only one sister out there. So what your direction with her is you truly have a goal with respect to that one individual person. And your goal with that one individual person is to have the best possible relationship you can have. So you're going to continue taking effort on a daily, weekly basis, no matter what her rejection of you is. All you can do is change yourself. You can come from a different place. You can try to share. You can come from heart. You can come from love. But her rejection of you is not going to stop that energy from going forward because she truly is your sister. And you truly want what you know would be great for both of you. And you're going to make the commitment more so to her than you would a prospect. You see the difference? A prospect is not your business, it's thousands of prospects, but a sister is only one sister. So I'm going to suggest that there's a heightened level and the goal is more directed towards one human being than it would be with a prospect in Manatech. Does that help a little bit? Yeah. So that's how I work on that level. It's not taking one. And some of you get so myopic. I know I have some people say, oh, Mary Jo, oh my gosh, if I could get this one person in my Manatech business, he would make millions for me. And I look at him, I go, wrong. How do you know that for a fact? You really never know that. And why are you putting all that energy? You can put lots of energy around somebody if you want to, but don't deny the fact that you can go out there and sign up 25 people this week if you just went out and used all that energy in a different direction. And the idea is to get as many people started on the product as possible. Our goal is to, you know, get everybody on the products, not just one person. So you've got to grapple with that energy that you put around one person and work on that level. And you can keep, like I said, it's easy. Mana mails, letters when something new happens. There's many ways to put people on a drip list. And if you don't have a drip list, then I'm going to suggest you probably are wasting a lot of time and energy around individual prospects. Because you don't have a category where you can say, I'm going to put them in this group of people so that I know they're going to consistently be getting contact from me. Because you don't have a program around what that drip list looks like. Yeah. Okay, so does that help a little bit, thinkers? And number two, of course, we talked about awareness. Number two is, of course, being committed to change. I mean, you can get all the awareness in your life about what you're doing, but unless you're committed to making a change, nothing's going to be different. Awareness is only step one. Committed to change and making changes is step two. So what happens to you from that today forward, if you're really committed to change from that thinker box, and starting to fall in love with problems, every time a problem comes up, you have to look at, ooh, what am I doing with that problem? What am I doing with it? How am I interacting with it? Why am I not tackling it? Why don't I jump in with both feet? And some of you are going to be so miserable, you're going to say, oh my gosh, it was the worst thing in the world. It's miserable. It's uncomfortable. And I'm going to suggest you absolutely. I hope and pray it is uncomfortable, because that means you haven't done it before, and it's very discomforting for you to do that. But the glory of it is this, that when you start achieving success time and time again, when you start taking that attitude and taking that approach, my goodness, you're going to become a problem lover. You're going to start coming from solution in everything you do. And what a difference in your life. What a difference in positive versus negative attitude. It's going to shift your whole being. If I could get the world to take this approach, if I could teach this class to the world, I guarantee you within 6 months, we'd be selling half the amount of Prozac around the country. Because people get so depressed and they get so negative about what problems in their lives. Let's tackle them. Let's go after them. Let's be aggressive about them. Let's fall in love with them instead of treat them like they're devastating. We just allow that to happen and we get stuck in this doldrums of, you know, why we can't, why we don't, why. Yikes. Positive. Grab onto it. Grapple with it. Tackle it. Make the movement today. And there's nothing that's immobile. Nothing. You can say, well, my sister hasn't talked to me in 10 years, Mary Jo, and she doesn't want to. I'm going to tell you right now, right here, right on this phone call, that doesn't mean it's not mobile. And you can say whatever you want. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't mean it can't move, because she's a human being. And that's what movement's about. So anyway, so everybody, great. Does any other comments from the group? We have a couple minutes left. Anyone else? I would suggest that you get with somebody, either your upline, and I don't know who this is, but either get with your upline or somebody to help you work through whatever that issue is going on in your body. Because from time to time, those things happen, but it's not Manatech.